What's going on, y'all? 97.5 The Fanatics. Welcome in the post as we go until midnight tonight following, unfortunately, a Sixers loss that you heard here against the Detroit Pistons, the second of the two-game series, the closeout game before they return to Philadelphia and host the Los Angeles Lakers on Wednesday night right here in Philadelphia. 97.5 The Fanatic. And listen, it wasn't a good one. 119-104, Devon Givens with you until midnight in the post. And we, of course, welcome all of your phone calls, 610-632-0975. We'll hear from Dee Lynam in just a bit, get her thoughts on what we saw from the 76ers tonight. We clearly knew going in that the 76ers were going to be without Joel Embiid due to rest as far as his back goes. And look, they just did not have it. The effort wasn't there. I wrote down in my notes here, the effort wasn't there, and the team looks lost without Joel Embiid. And in the first quarter, the score was 34-23 in favor of the Detroit Pistons. They shot 52% from the floor and got to the free throw line six times, four more than the Philadelphia 76ers, making all six of those, 4 of 11 from deep. And it was just one of those nights. The offensive rebounds, they had six of them as well. 14 total rebounds for the Detroit Pistons in the first quarter. You had Wayne Ellington going off. DeLon Wright also going off tonight for the Detroit Pistons. And it really set the tone of where this game was going to go for the 76ers tonight. Now, I thought that they would be able to catch up, but it was just not their night. Simmons in foul trouble all evening long. Before the game, when we did our pregame show, we talked about what you needed to see from this team overall, right? And what we saw from the team was just lack of effort. And you heard Doc Rivers postgame talking about how he was just focused so much on everything in regards to the team in general, and it wasn't coming together, the lack of effort. And look, tonight you see that Tobias Harris led the team with 25 points. Great. All right. He continues to play very well, shot over 50%. And normally, not normally, but oftentimes I'll speak about how the impact of his numbers just weren't there. Tonight was not his fault. He did his job tonight with the 25. Simmons needed more. Curry, you needed more. Danny Green, you needed more. And Dwight Howard, in place of Joel Embiid, as you heard the fellas talking about it, Tom McGinnis and Brian Seltzer, he just did not look himself. And the one thing that we all praise Dwight Howard for overall is how he goes about his work. And we talked about a pregame, him stepping in and seeing what he has, and that was something that I believe that Nate in Southwest brought up, that you needed him to be consistent and be a steady force in the middle for the team. And he was, once he started to, the thing that bothers me about Dwight is once he starts to get into foul trouble and so on and so forth with the for the team, he gets into this thing, right? He gets into this thing where he's more worried about the officials and the calls that are being levied against him instead of worrying about what needs to happen on the floor. And that's become an issue for me with Dwight Howard, the constant complaining. And even when you hear Tom, right? Tom is saying, you know, come on, another technical. He's starting to look like Rasheed Wallace out there. And it's just, and I'm not saying this because it's a loss. I'm saying it because it's just too much at some times, right, where he's just simply complaining about the calls that are being thrown at him and not going in his favor. It's just one of those deals. But look, we'll take your phone call, 610-632-0975. Devon Givens with you in the post following it. Sixers lost tonight, 119-104. And I needed to see a better performance from this squad tonight. And I know I'm going to get a great performance from our visit every night following a Sixers game on weeknights, and that is with Dee Lynam joining us on the Comcast Business Hotline. Bounce forward. Dee, how was your weekend? How are you?
I'm doing excellent, thank you. I hope you had the same.
I did. No complaints about the weekend at all. Thank you.
Yeah, there was a lot of activity with football and the Eagles in particular and the coaching staff and, yeah.
And a nice win by the Sixers on Saturday.
And then not so much today.
Well,
that was a clunker.
Yeah, let's just jump off right here where we are. D, no Joel Embiid. Thought we would get a much better effort. I didn't think they gave enough of an effort tonight.
No.
And I have to give credit to Detroit, by the way.
I will, because I thought they played well, and I would agree with Tom McGinnis when he said that arguably their best played game for the Pistons this year. So I will give them some credit. But the no Joel, and then for it to be such a drop-off, I think that's what you have to kind of figure out. And I think, part of what Doc Rivers is saying, he's not worried about this because he likes how his team plays when Embiid's available.
Yeah.
And I understand that. And he's going to be available, most nights. But I think the drop-off, you cannot consistently have this kind of drop-off when he isn't available.
No, I totally agree. And when we started the show off earlier, the pregame show here, D, we talked about Simmons and his quarter, final 5 minutes on Friday against Boston. And then his really, really good play with his 20 and 9-7 or whatever it was on Saturday in the first game against Detroit, and how it needed to carry over, how we wanted to see that carry over to this game here tonight with no Embiid. Now, it doesn't mean that he had to go out there and get 33. It just meant that he had to be a steady force out there, lead the team like he did on Saturday in the ways that he did, along with the help of Tobias Harris and many others. And yes, he got into foul trouble, but he just wasn't good enough tonight.
No, and like one of the things I loved, instead of him being in foul trouble, I would have liked to see him on the foul line again, like he was the other night when he was 10 of 12. An aggressive Ben, you always say it, is the best Ben. And I would add to it, an available Ben is also necessary. And when you get yourself in that kind of foul trouble, you're putting your team at a disadvantage. So I don't know, would they have been better if he had not gotten into his foul trouble, or, is it more than that?
No, I totally agree. And D. Lynam joining us on the Comcast Business Hotline. Bounce forward. Sixers fall tonight in their second game of a two-game series with the Detroit Pistons, 119-104, now 12-6 on the season. And you're right. Had he not been in foul trouble, it's not clear enough for us to say that or not with this one, D. And I wrote it in my notes just overall. They get off to the slow start. Wayne Ellington comes out. He gives you 8. DeLon Wright gives you 7. And the tone was starting to be set. They lose that quarter by 11 points. And you know how you know a team, and I know you do know this team, and you look at them and you just get that feel right away that it's just not going to be their night.
Yeah, and even in the third, when I think they scored the first two buckets of the third, and it's then 89-80 and single digits. And yet, there was a hollowness, because usually you say, all right, you get it under 10 at this point, now you're, back in it. But it never really amounted to that.
Yeah, and I'll even take it, back a quarter before in the second, where the Sixers only lost that one by 3. But what troubled me was the fact that the Pistons got to the free throw line 14 times. They were 13-14 in the second quarter alone, and the Sixers less aggressive with only 5 of 5. Now, they shot 10 of 21, making 3 more field goals, 1 less 3-pointer than the Pistons. And yes, again, 30-27 was the score, but the fact that the Pistons kept showing the aggression and the Sixers were not was something that I just highlighted.
Right, and come on, Devon, you and I both know, you put a team on the line for 38 free throws, and you're going to get about half of that. They got 20. It's going to be a tough, tough game to, where are you making that up?
Yeah, so just trying to find a few silver linings. We talked about the struggles of Tyrese Maxey over the last couple of games. Maybe he's hit the rookie wall with all the minutes that they needed him for when everything happened with the players missing time due to COVID. Tonight off the bench, D, and we'll get to Tobias, 6 of 12 for Tyrese Maxey, 20 1 minute, basically 17 points. Got to the free throw line three times, 2 of 3 from behind the 3-point line, 3 steals, and it was just good to see him find ways to get the ball into the hoop again.
Sure, and because these are like learning, growing experiences, right? So say he has hit a little bit of a wall, you know, and this is a game where, one, he plays well, two, he gets a lot of minutes because you can, because the game wasn't going to be won. I'm not saying that's not a knock, but if you had your full availability of people, maybe you're closing that game out, you know, not with Maxey on the court. But I would agree with you. Anytime that a young player has a game where he does a lot of things well, then you go and coaches will show you that, and it's building, you know, a portfolio, so to speak.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so it's good to see. Maybe that will help him, again, just regain that confidence due to the fact that he, not going to say he lost the confidence, but just seeing the struggles that he's had in double-digit minutes, and that would have to, I'm sure, bother any rookie. But once you get something like this happening again, maybe you can pick up that little pep in your step once again. D-Lineham on the Comcast Business Hotline joining us. Bounce forward. We're in the post following the Sixers' loss, 119-104, now 12-6 on the season as they fall to the Pistons tonight. D, I look at Tobias Harris, and you've been saying it. He's been very consistent. Oftentimes, I'll be critical of his numbers that they didn't have an impact enough. His 25 was consistent. They needed all 25 of them. I have no issues with what he did tonight.
No, and I thought it was interesting because Doc's a little hard on Tobias sometimes. Now, he has coached him before, so but one of the things he actually commented about is defense. And, you know, that's not necessarily where you're going to see that in the stat sheet. I think he has come to expect the consistent scoring that he's getting from this guy and high percentage shots, or he's shooting a high percentage, over 50 from the floor for the season. So there are many, really, since you can go back to the opener, and I think he was 3 of 13 in the season opener. And after that, there's very little I could complain about what that guy does on a nightly basis.
Yeah, no doubt about it. No doubt about it. I in this one and lately, he's been playing at a very, very high level. So it's good to see. You don't want to see the struggles, 4 of 16 for Curry and Green tonight. And you also are only 3 of 8 for 3 of 10, pardon me, for Shake Milton for his 10 points. So the guards really struggled tonight to help out overall in this one. So they need to pick it up, D. So what are you looking for as they get ready for the Lakers on Wednesday night with them coming in here? They're playing the Cavaliers right now. They are currently up 7 points in the fourth quarter with 4 minutes to play. LeBron has 38 in this one. 15 for Anthony Davis. What are you looking for them to get themselves back? I would assume that Embiid is playing against the Lakers.
Well, that's the biggest factor because, let's face it, I mean, he's the Eastern Conference Player of the Week. I think he'll be the Eastern Conference Player of the Month.
Agreed.
And he's playing at such a high level. And as a result, they as a group play so much better by his mere presence and how well he is doing so many things. So defensively, they will be better. You know, you'll play through Embiid, provided he's available. And, you know, I'll take that starting five. They're undefeated on the season. And I would hope they will all be available to face the best team in the league, in my opinion.
Yeah, no doubt about it. All right, well, without further ado, since this was such a clunker, let's get to the MVP of the game for you, D. Lineham.
You know, I'm going to be a little sentimental. I'm going to give it to Jeremy Grant only because when he came out of college, you know, you're a second-round pick, and he was a hard worker, but he's really developed his game. And so for him to, you know, obviously he scored, but he got to the line. I think he was perfect 10 of 10 at the line.
Yep.
So 6 of 13 from the floor. He had 8 boards. He has 5 assists. I just like how he's filling out the stat sheet. And, of course, you know, he always likes to get in. And he had 1 block in the game, too. So
yeah, he did. And for him to bounce back the way he did after Ben shut him down on Saturday.
Oh, my gosh. I had callers telling me about Ben shut him down. I'm like, Ben's supposed to be able to shut him
exactly.
down.
Exactly.
Jeremy
right.
Grant's a nice player.
He's
but
still
I mean,
Jeremy
he's
Grant.
Yeah. Right. Come on.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Well, I'm going to go with, in this one, as great as Wayne Ellington has been since they've inserted him into the starting lineup, 7 of 10 tonight, 6 of 9 from deep. Still can shoot. I keep calling for the Sixers to sign him. They won't do it. He gave them 20. But I'm going with DeLon Wright. I didn't expect him to have a game like this where he almost had a triple-double, 28 points, 7 boards, 9 assists, 8 of 12 from the floor, not known for his outside shooting, 4 of 8 from deep. And D, he got to the free throw line 9 times, converting 8 of those. And as a point guard tonight, only turning the ball over 3 times, DeLon Wright gets my game ball tonight.
I like that one. I do. I mean, when you talk about the line, I talked about Jeremy, you talk about him. How about just as a group, 32 of 38?
Man.
Yeah, 84%. That's some big time team shooting there.
And the Sixers took 24 more shots, and they protected the basketball tonight, and yet and still, it wasn't even as close, really, as the score indicates, 119-104. Your difference maker of the game?
So it's actually, I'm going to call it three and free. In addition to putting them on the line as much as they did, Detroit made 17 threes.
Yeah.
And you only made, you know, you didn't even get to double digits. You had 9.
Yeah.
So three and free to me was the difference maker.
I was going to go with the free throws, making sure that they got there 38 times and making 32, which were 12 more than the Sixers even attempted. But that's a great one for you, for what you're saying there, the three and free. I love that. And when it comes to the difference maker of the game, and is there a player of a play of the game for you?
Yeah, the minute they heard Joel couldn't play.
Absolutely. Yep, no question. And for me, I'll just end it with, as soon as they came out of the first bucket, Wayne Ellington 3, start the game off. That was it.
That was it
tonight. Well, D, that'll do that one for us as we make this a quick one, because why waste any more time on that?
I hear
tonight?
You, buddy.
Yeah.
I hear you.
D, we'll have a great night. We'll talk to you Wednesday after Sixers.
I think it's going to be a good game.
I agree.
Yep.
I agree. I want to see Davis against Embiid.
I think we're in for some entertainment.
Yeah, because you know what? Over the past few years, right? Embiid has been better than Davis head-to-head. And, you know, I want to see that again, especially where Embiid is at this point, where everyone's talking about him being an MVP candidate, some choosing him as the top choice as of right now through the amount of games that they've played. And with Davis establishing himself again after winning the title last year, mm-hmm. I want to see how Embiid takes this one head on.
I'm right there with you.
Yep. All
I'll
right.
Look forward to that postgame.
Enjoy the rest of your night, and I'll talk to you on Wednesday night, D.
Take care, Devon. Thank you.
You as well. Thank you so much, D. Lynam. Comcast Business Hotline, bounce forward. You on the other side. Sixers fall 119-104. They're 12-6 on the season. No Embiid tonight. No win tonight over the Pistons. 610-632-0975. We'll get to your calls. We'll talk everything with this game. I have thoughts. You do as well. We'll hear from Tyler Zuli, 11:45. We'll get the leftovers tonight as well. Sixers fall. We're talking in the post until midnight right here on the Fanatic.
Devon Givens, 97.5, The Fanatic.
The Fanatic. Welcome back in the post. Sixers fall to the Detroit Pistons, 119-104, snapping their 3-game winning streak. Pistons win their fourth game of the season tonight behind DeLon Wright and his 28 points, Jeremy Grant with 25, Wayne Ellington 20, and they were really good. They were really good tonight. Mason Plumlee with the double-double, 10-10. Blake Griffin really, really could not find his rhythm this evening with 7 points on 2 of 8 shooting, 2 of 5 from the free throw line. He just did not look like, he might be done anyway, but I'm just pointing out that tonight he wasn't very good. And off the bench, Josh Jackson with his 12 points. By the way, when he and Ben got into their thing, right? When he and Ben got into their thing, so if you didn't see the initial play what happened, so what happened was, you know, timeout, all right, guys would walk into their bench. It looked like Josh Jackson was just holding the ball, speaking to the official. And Ben Simmons walked by, and he tapped the basketball. You know how guys just tap it, knock it out of their hand, or whatever they're doing. And Josh Jackson, who's a hothead, he has a reputation as a hothead, he took offense to that. And for whatever reason, he wouldn't let it go, and Ben is talking, they're talking back and forth, they're jawing, and I think everyone at this point has seen the replay, especially on social media, where we saw what Josh Jackson called Ben Simmons out of his name, told him to shut up, you know, or keep be quiet, you're whatever. And I just knew. And if you're a fan and you followed him and you understand who Josh Jackson is, which is why he was no longer in Phoenix. They, you know, couldn't keep himself out of trouble and keep himself together, that something else was going to happen. And I don't think it was that. I don't think he intentionally, you know what? I thought he wanted to let Ben Simmons know what happened before. I didn't think he wanted to pop him that hard. But in any event, he did it. And then when he got the call and he went down to floor and he threw the ball the way that he did, you knew that was just going to happen. And that was it. Mike Scott stood up for Simmons, leaving the bench. Embiid, the same thing. They have their Kansas connection. And that was that. So I could see that one happen. I could see that one brewing when it came to Josh Jackson getting himself ejected from the game. It just was what it was at that point. So, all right, let's take your phone calls on this game. 610-632-0975. Sixers fall 119-104. As we go a little bit deeper into the overall game and the box score, as we mentioned, Tobias Harris really good tonight with his 25 for the 76ers, leading them in scoring. 10 of 19 from the floor, 3 of 6 from deep, 2 of 4 from the free throw line, 7 boards, pardon me, 2 assists. He had it going right away with his 12 points in the first quarter. So no matter what was going to happen tonight for this team, he was going to be prepared. He was going to be ready. He was going to give it his all to put them in a position to win this game. And it just wasn't enough. Simmons, 11 points on 5 of 9. Foul trouble with the 4 personal fouls. Got the third one, and it was kind of cheap, but he shouldn't have been reaching. And he got caught. You know, his hand was in the cookie jar, and that's just where it went. So 11 points for him, 4 assists, 4 boards, an underwhelming performance from him tonight when we were asking for a little bit more. He needed to be a little more under control. He had that ridiculous charge when he came down the floor to pick up, again, another unnecessary foul for Ben Simmons, where he had to compose himself and be a little bit more under control in this one. So that's what we saw from Ben Simmons. Not enough. Dwight Howard, also in a little bit of foul trouble early with the 3 personal fouls, playing 24 minutes. And you saw Doc Rivers said he liked Dwight Howard with the second unit. Okay, that's fair. And he is right how Howard plays with that second unit. But that was also more of just an indication of how poorly he played in the first half, did Dwight Howard, with the 5 points and 2 of 5 from the floor. He had 1 personal foul, but he just wasn't good. You could just see with the way the game was going, it just wasn't good enough. Tony Bradley comes in, and off the bench, he gave him 6 in the first half, and he finished the night with 12 points on 5 of 7 shooting, 9 boards. He just looked like he had a little more energy tonight for the Sixers off the bench in his time in 23 minutes and 20 seconds. And, of course, some of that was the just the mop-up duty in the last 4. But he just looked like he was more engaged in the game overall. Danny Green, Seth Curry, we mentioned it, along with Shake Milton. You're looking at 7 of 26 from the field. Not going to cut it. Not going to cut it. From guys that you expected. I've highlighted Shake Milton before the game, not only with Ben Simmons and Tobias Harris to do his work, which he did, as someone who I expected to have a much better performance tonight for the 76ers. And Shake Milton, 3 of 10. Seth Curry, 2 for 10. Danny Green, 2 for 6. You need more. And overall, the free throws, as D. Lynam pointed out, 32 of 38 for Detroit, only 15 of 20. And we know the Sixers, their free throws, a lot of them, right, are what we see from Embiid and him going out there flat out destroying the opponent. Simmons the other night, 10 of 12. No one got into double figures. The high in terms of shooting free throws tonight were both Harris and Milton, four each for the 76ers. You needed some more aggressiveness. And I understand that you were missing him again, but you needed some more aggressiveness and getting to the free throw line, drawing that contact, going to the basket, not being afraid to take on that hit to your body in order to get yourself an opportunity and get yourself in a position and an opportunity to win the game. You needed a better performance from them and trying to be aggressive. So that's the starters right there. Furkan Korkmaz, 3 of 8 for 7 points. Matisse Thybulle in 19 minutes and 54 seconds. Look, we know we don't see him in there as a scorer, and that's not what you're asking of him. But you're not asking that of him. 1 of 3, he was basically a negative out there on the floor. His defense, really not anything that we could highlight tonight because the Pistons scored 119 points. Their wings played very well from Wright, Ellington, and Grant with a bulk of their points tonight, scoring at a very, very good rate here where those guys scored, you know, 70 points, 70 plus points on the evening for this Pistons team. They were very, very good. So his defense, just not enough. And even when we highlight Josh Jackson in his 12 before he was ejected, again, another wing who's scoring out there for the Detroit Pistons. As we go a little bit deeper, the Sixers shot 24 more field goals than did the Detroit Pistons. They were 40 of 94 for 42.6%. Detroit 35 for 70 for 50%. But they really, really got the Sixers in these two categories. 17 of 38, as D-Lineham pointed out, from behind the three-point line, making 8 more three-point field goals than the Sixers for 44.7%. Sixers, 9 of 28 from deep for 32%. Free throws, 32 of 38, we already mentioned, 15 of 20 for the Sixers. So while they shot 75%, which is good, plus 18 from the free throw line for attempts for the Pistons. Plus 17 in makes. Can't win like that. Dominated on the glass, 47-36. They missed Embiid in that category. Turnovers, they protected the basketball. 9 turnovers, 16 points off of the turnovers for the Sixers, for the Pistons, pardon me. Sixers got 33 points off of the 19 turnovers from Detroit, but you're going to get that from a bad team where they turn the ball over a lot. But even that, you could not capitalize off of something like that. 15 assists on 40 made baskets for the Sixers. Oftentimes, I highlight how much they did a nice job with swinging the basketball, spreading the wealth all over the floor on their makes. 15 assists on 40 makes for the Sixers tonight. 22 on 35, a much better percentage for the Detroit Pistons in this one tonight. The biggest lead tonight with the Pistons, 21. Sixers never led in this game. Once Wayne Ellington started off with a three-pointer to start the game off, the Sixers did get a two-pointer quickly from them. Ben Simmons got the jump hook to go make it 3-2. After that, the one-point game is basically what you had. No lead changes, no ties, points in the paint, 48-30 in favor of the Sixers, which is great, but Detroit made more threes. 23-15 second chance points for the Sixers. Fantastic. Were you 13-11 offensive rebounds? But again, didn't matter. Fast break points, 11-8 Sixers. Did not matter. This game stunk. The team stunk. They had no effort. And I thought they would get a better performance from a good team. We say a good team against a bad squad, even when you're missing your best player, when you have an all-star and an all-NBA player, an all-defensive player, Tobias Harris playing at the level that he is, and he played very well tonight. You needed to walk away from this one tonight with a win. You needed to be 13-5 going into Wednesday night's game against the Los Angeles Lakers. Did not like this performance from this team at all tonight. I needed to see more, not just in terms of the point total, but them executing. them making sure that they don't get down too much. The attention to detail. The small things overall, I needed to see that from the Sixers tonight, and they did not do that for me in this game. They did not do it for themselves. They did not do it for Doc Rivers, which is why they fell tonight 119-104 to the Detroit Pistons. They did go, what'd they go, 10 deep with Matisse Thybulle. And then Isaiah Joe, trying to find a spark was Doc Rivers. He tried to find a spark somewhere in there, but it was too late, too little too late for them. I highlighted this one for D as well in the second quarter. The free throw discrepancy, you know, the difference there, 13 of 14 in the free from the free throw line in the second quarter for the Pistons, where the Sixers only got there five times in this game. Two for Curry, two for Shake Milton, one for Tyrese Maxey, and that was on an and one for him in the second quarter. Once again, not going to get it done overall for the team. Just not going to get it done. They needed to be better in this game. It was just a terrible performance. We welcome in now, who engineered the game back here at the studio and did a fantastic job there with us here for the remainder of the evening. Tyler Zuli, good evening. And this one was a stinker.
Yeah, good evening to you as well, Devon. Tonight was a further indication as to why the MVP conversation for Joel Embiid is significant and real. And it has nothing, tonight had nothing to do with stats, and it had nothing to do with how many points he scored or how many rebounds he had or anything like that, because he didn't play. And when he doesn't play, this team is significantly worse. And you know how I feel about the MVP term. I use it very literally. Who is the most valuable player to your team? And tonight was an indication that without Joel Embiid, this team does not have much success. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's not to say that some of these guys are they're not bad players, right? Obviously, you've got all-star caliber players on this team. Ben Simmons has been an all-star. I still believe Tobias Harris will be an all-star at midway through this season if they have an all-star game.
You're talking about it.
Yeah, you know, you've got guys that I think fit specific roles because Joel Embiid allows them to fit specific roles. When he's off the floor for extended period of time, or in this case, for the entirety of the game, everything just isn't fluid. Everything is very, like, the gears don't turn nearly as well for this team. And it's evident that he is what makes this team go.
He does. And clearly everyone else plays off of him. And the MVP candidate stuff is real. We know it. But they also have to have the wins to go with it. And they also need to be able to play when he's not out there. They're now 0-4 on the season when he's not available for them. He was there, but he just didn't play. And you need to see a better performance. And it's disappointing. And maybe it's my fault. Maybe it's your fault. Maybe it's everybody's fault for believing that they would do it. But this is a necessary step that they have to make. Now, they are right now, as we said, 12-6. So we're talking about 18 games in the books for this basketball team at this time. So even with the 18 games in the books for them, it's still plenty of time. Look, they're still a game up on the Bucks. The Celtics are still playing as we speak, if I'm not mistaken. Yes, they're playing the Bulls right now, and they'll pick up, you know, some ground there. The Pacers played tonight. They're not too far behind as well. As I look at the standings, the Pacers are 10-7. They're in fourth place. In Brooklyn, one, they're 11-8. And everyone after that, they have a ways to go to catch up with those top five teams that we just played out. So the Sixers are still at the top. They're 12-4 in the conference, 4-1 in their division right now. They're 3-5 on the road. So while they're 3-5 on the road, that's perfectly fine. But when you lose to Detroit and Cleveland, who's in the playoff hunt right now as well, in the seventh spot, 8-9, these are the things that we point out. In their last 10 games, they're 5-5. Now, no one else is really blowing things out of the water. Milwaukee 7-3, Boston 6-4, 5-5 for Indiana, 6-4 for Brooklyn. So no one's really, in their last 10, knocking your socks off. But you want to see a better performance from them overall, the Sixers, in their last 10. And they have a tough stretch that's upcoming here when we talk about the Lakers on Wednesday. I believe it's Minnesota on Friday as they start a road trip out west for four, where you look at Minnesota, pardon me, three, Minnesota, Indiana, and Charlotte. So it's not West Coast. That's later, where you have Sacramento, Portland, Phoenix, and Utah in February. But Minnesota, Indiana, and Charlotte, Minnesota is scrappy, okay? Indiana, as we just mentioned, playing very well. Malcolm Brogdon, last I checked, before the game was out, he had about 35. Miles Turner's playing better basketball as well. Charlotte, they can get in you a little bit. They can get in you a little bit. What's his name? Gordon Hayward is playing better. So, you know, they need to perform on the road now. So you have this one at home quickly for against Los Angeles. But if you're looking at now, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, one of your games of the next six of these next six games is at home, and that's this Laker game coming up, right? So you won Detroit the first one, you lose the second one. Now you have this stretch of four games where four games, only one at home against the Lakers. I wanted to see a better performance from them tonight as they get ready to go on this short road trip away from Philadelphia. 610-632-0975. We'll get into a little more on the other side as we go in the post. We stay in the post. No 3 seconds for us. We go in the post on the other side to start off the 11 o'clock hour. And we'll mix in some Eagle stuff as well with Nick Sirianni, the names that are out there that it looks like he's going to add to his coaching staff as it's starting to come together for your new Philadelphia Eagles head coach. And something that I wanted to bring up as well, that with Jeffrey Lurie, Nick Sirianni from the weekend, that kind of made me laugh and was kind of annoyed about it. So we'll point that out, and at 11:45, we'll get to the leftovers for this game tonight and overall, whatever Tyler has in store for the leftovers. 610-632-0975. Devon Givens with you until midnight. Sixers fall. They fall to the Pistons, 119-104. We're in the post until midnight right here on The Fanatic.
Give me that funk of Von Givens on 97.5, The Fanatic.
Welcome back in the post, 97.5, The Fanatic, 610-632-0975. Devon Givens with you, following a Sixers game tonight, as always. Unfortunately, a loss, now 12-6. They dropped this one to the Pistons, 119-104, 11 p.m. it is. Tyler Zuli with us as we go until midnight, talking about the 76ers falling to the Detroit Pistons. If you did miss it earlier, Joel Embiid was named Eastern Conference Player of the Week based on his fantastic performances against both the Celtics twice and then the Pistons on Saturday. He was tremendous this week with the work that he did. And if you also remember that the Sunday game, which would have started it all off, the Oklahoma City game, was postponed due to COVID. But in the games that he played against Boston and Detroit, 42, 38, and 33 were his point totals. He had 10 boards in the first one against Boston, 14 in the first one against Detroit. And that's in that game, I think the 38 against Boston, 122-110, and Embiid had 38, I want to say 9 boards off the top of my head. 38 and 11 in that one. So, well-deserved. And as Dee pointed out when she joined us, Dee Lynam mentioned that he will probably be the player of the month. We only have, five, 6 more days in this month. He'll probably be the player of the month in the Eastern Conference for his work. Doc Rivers should also get some looks for, I think he's actually going to win it, the coach of the month in this month for the Eastern Conference. And that's great and all, but you know that it needs to be a lot more when we see this one. How do you look at this team without Embiid there? 0-4 right now without Embiid on the floor or for them. And in certain games, it's not even close when you look at their performances on the floor.
Well, you know what I think the thing with this team is, and we mentioned it earlier in the show, is they're obviously have good players. It's not like it's Embiid and, like, you know, me out there. But the problem is they've got in their head right now that they are Embiid and the rest of the guys instead of, like, the rest of the guys being who they are. Because this team should win these kind of games even without Joel Embiid, right? If Joel Embiid's not going to play against Brooklyn or Miami or Milwaukee and you lose, it's understandable. You lost your best player against a good team. But even without Joel Embiid, the Sixers should be good enough to beat Detroit. They should be good enough to beat Charlotte. They should be good enough to beat certain teams that are just, you know, inferior talent level to them. And I think right now they just have in their head that they're not capable of winning games without Joel Embiid.
Yeah, but you can't have it like that.
They've got to get that out of their heads quickly.
Get it out of your head. And this is where, like, when D talked about it last week, when we talked about the pecking order of where they are in terms of the team, Embiid is, of course, the alpha. The second best player is supposed to be Simmons. And as she pointed out, you can argue that it's Tobias Harris. Some argue that it might be Shake Milton. And Simmons basically at this point was fourth, which is unfortunate. You wanted to see more. And then with the shooting and all, with the spacing wasn't necessarily there. Simmons was in foul trouble, so he really couldn't allow for, you know, his playmaking to take over all of that. Just a bad performance from this team tonight. Disappointed in what they did this evening. So 610-632-0975. Guys, what were your thoughts on this one? How disappointed? I know it's only Detroit, but again, it's Detroit where only they should not have lost this game to this basketball team. I do give credit to the Pistons, though. They stood up. They stepped up. Ellington and DeLon Wright as a starting backcourt. Tremendous with 48 points between the two. And Jeremy Grant bouncing back from an awful performance on Saturday where Simmons was in his shorts. Shut him down. He came back tonight, 25 points, 10 of 10 from the free throw line. So your thoughts tonight, 610-632-0975. We'll get to the Eagles and Nick Sirianni as well, his coaching staff, Deuce Daily News, so on and so forth. Let's go to the phones, though. Let's start things off and get our friend from South Jersey in here, Chris, in the Post, to start us off this evening. What's up, Chris?
What's going on, Devon?
Oh, man. Tough loss tonight, man.
Listen, I like the way they look in certain games, but, you know, if the Nets didn't look so horrific on defense, I would say we wouldn't have a shot at going to the finals right now. Mm-hmm. I feel like we're moving the goalposts for Ben, you know, as far as where he needs to be. I try to tell people all the time, people got on Carson Wentz this year when he made the statement, I'm going to throw interceptions in games. I'm going to have turnovers in games. It just happens here. That's what we do here. That's not what we do here. Ben Simmons has made the statement last year when they asked him about the shooting. He said, well, I average 15 a game and I'm still an all-star. You know, and that wasn't a statement that should have went over well with people. And this year, you know, the statement this week comes out, hey, well, I don't give a F what people on social media say.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, that would be okay if majority of the things people were saying about you aren't true. You know, it's not like, you know, Ben has a bunch of improvements and people are nitpicking his game. It's to the point where we're moving the goalposts for how good we expect this guy to be when he was the number one overall pick. And, you know, I said it before to you when I called in, like, I get Tobias is the highest paid player on the team, but he's on his sixth team or something like that. Like we shouldn't expect Tobias. He was never a franchise player. You know, that's not the position we should want him to be in. So when he goes off for 25 at night, we're proud. You know, we're good. We're happy to see that. And even consistently being around 18, 19 points a game on average, that's good for Tobias and that's good for his career. Ben is like, is almost getting to the point where we got to talk about, like, this guy might be a bust for a number one pick. He might be a bust.
Well, I guess it's really at this point, Chris, where you talk, and it's hard. I can't say that he's a bust. Here's why. All NBA player, which is legit. All defender, right, which is legit. So it's not a bust in that sense. It's a matter of how we evaluate him and what we ask of him, what we expect from him. And that's a whole nother conversation that we can dive into. But, you know, that's really what it is. What are you expecting from Ben Simmons as a player for where you are not disappointed or you are disappointed at the outcome when it's all said and done at the end of that night, that day, whatever game we just watched, or you know what I'm saying? So that's where it goes.
I think
I wouldn't call him a bust. I would call him disappointing.
I wouldn't call him a bust at this point, you know, because he still has, you know, time to redefine his game for the better. You know, like, it's great to be known as a defensive first guy, but when it's like you can't play in a half court, though, it's that's where it's like, hey, this guy ranks A+ in defense, but his offense is like a D-, you know, in certain situations. You know, I appreciate Ben for having a great fast break game, you know, but it's like we should be able, like you guys said earlier, we should be able to win this game tonight and see Ben have, you know, 29-7 and, you know, with a great defensive performance. And that should be what we expect from Ben.
Yeah.
You know, as bad as things went with Markel this year and how unfortunate it was that he got hurt this year, he was making a serious case for MIP, most improved player in the NBA this year, the way he came out. And that just says something to, you know, that player's hunger. It's a thing where you got to question, is Ben hungry enough? Does he want that? Does Ben want to at least be a number two? Because you can't say he wants to be a number one the way he, you know, is what's his name. And if the way he, you know, at times plays, looks, is it because if he plays like that because he wants to be a number one and isn't, then that even worse. You know, like it's too many things that Ben is just leaving us out there to question about his game at this point. And it can potentially be a big detriment to the Sixers. Say Joel has to miss a playoff game, or, you know, like, say, you know, because when it looked like this without Joel on the court, it's like questions. And it's not like Tobias looked bad tonight. He looked decent. You know, Shake looked good, has looked good all year. Maxie has looked like he has me happy that the Sixers have an official point guard on the team. Like, Ben is just like, man, what are we supposed to get next from you?
And listen, man, Chris, thanks for the call as always. We'll chat,
appreciate,
man.
You,
always, man. Thank you. Always. Thank you. 610-632-0975. He was kind of touching on the thing that Tyler and I have tucked away for our the time that we get it, have an opportunity to do a full show again. Like I said, I don't want to waste a topic like the one that we have. And I don't want to say waste because it's there and someone might actually do it before we do it. But that being said, I just think it's so topical and so in the moment with what we are talking about with the Sixers that we need more than an hour to dedicate that to that conversation. Last Friday, we had on the Sixers Podcast Network with Brian Seltzer and Lauren Rosen, my weekly visit is on Fridays. And if you have to check it out in general, the Sixers Podcast Network with Tom McGinnis and his podcast, Matt Murphy with the Blue Coast podcast as well. Lauren and Seltzer all over it all weekend. And I'm with them on Fridays. And we had a chance to speak to Doris Burke. And she was doing the games both on ESPN on Wednesday and Friday. Great, great with what she does. A Hall of Famer. Love Doris Burke. It was a great conversation. It was great to catch up with her as we spoke with her on Friday. And, you know, the question was asked. Seltz asked her about Simmons. It's hard to have a conversation about the Sixers and not bring up Simmons. And if you watched her do a broadcast of a Sixers game, many people come away and say, why is Doris Burke always defending Ben Simmons, so on and so forth. She does defend Ben Simmons because she's a point guard and she sees what he does very well. It's hard not to pick out the things that he does very well when you're talking about it again, an all-NBA player, an all-league defender with what he does out there at his size. We know it, right? We speak about it all the time. Why can you not just focus on the good things and not just highlight and isolate the bad things that he, or the things that he doesn't do so well? Well, here's a quick, before we get back to the phones, and EJ, I see you, my brother. I see you right there. We're coming to you, 610-632-0975, everyone else. Here's Doris Burke with a quick conversation about Ben Simmons and what he does so well on the floor.
I don't know that I've ever seen a player of his caliber absorb such skepticism. Now, I'm going to be honest with you and say last night, he was the topic of conversation for a decent stretch of time for Mike and I, because we don't believe he's yet at his best level this year, which may be a good thing and probably is a good thing, right? And but one thing you cannot overstate is Ben's influence on the game in incredibly impactful ways. And I would start on the defensive end of the floor. To me, the Sixers, because of what they're up against with Brooklyn and Milwaukee, they better be defined by what they do on the defensive end of the floor. You've got two individual pieces that are truly, in my opinion, you know, again, going back to focus and locked in and all those things, two of the best at their position, right? What are opponents shooting in the paint? I believe the number going into the other night's game was 45%. At the rim, maybe 50%. That's Joel Embiid. And so he can negate a lot of things. And I know last year in researching games for the bubble, the number of all-stars that Ben guarded over the course of the season was truly a remarkable thing. So I just, you cannot overstate Ben's strength. And really, in a pinch, he could guard the five spot. He's got the kind of strength and size necessary. You can put them interchangeably one through four. In this day and age, with the level of ability, with the shot making, you've got to have pieces like that.
And that, again, Doris Burke on the Sixers Podcast Network Friday with Brian Seltz and Lauren Rosen and myself. And you hear what she said. And again, she's a point guard. She sees those things. And not analysts aren't trying to find the negatives in the games of the players. They're looking for the positive. They're not trying to be negative. The game will call for whatever it calls for, right? So when she's talking about him, she's not wrong with the things that she's speaking of. But we also see him do the things that we want, not do the things that we want him to do more. And it becomes just increasingly frustrating within the flow of the game. I remember a play where a lot of the guys were really highlighting one of the games where Embiid was out. I don't know if it was the Miami game or it was the, I don't remember what game it was. It might have been the Miami game. And everyone was talking about the one where he going downhill, stopped right inside the free throw line, picked up the basketball, and felt like he was about to do a dribble handoff with someone, and no one was there. But you know how you're taught, and we're going to come to EJ in a second. You know how you're taught when you're playing. Don't pick up your dribble unless you have a plan for it. Once you pick it up. He had no plan. He had a plan in mind, but it wasn't being run properly. And yes, he was playing with some younger players. And I remember I wrote it in my notes that he was looking for Isaiah Joe to come get it. And he did score at the last second on the shot clock. He did score. Once he got that ball back. But these are the things that we're talking about. It's like, yo, all right, don't even mention the fact that you're a 5-year pro, 4 on the floor. These are fundamental things that you're taught when you're younger. Don't leave your feet when you're throwing the ball. Don't try to throw the ball across court. All it's going to do is lead to a fast break the other way. Don't, to the point I was just bringing up with this particular play, don't give up your dribble when you're out there on the floor, unless you have a plan for the basketball. So look, I mean, he's just, we can talk about so many things and then it just eventually comes back to him. we can talk about anything with the Sixers, about how Sam Cassell called a great ATO out of the timeout and boom, it's about Simmons the next thing, next time down. He's a polarizing figure. And as we are in the post and we go next to West Philly and EJ. EJ, bro, listen, I have to ask you this before you get started. And I hope I don't throw you off of your train of thought of what you want to say. Following sports as long as you have and all of the sports that you have, has there ever been anyone as polarizing as Ben Simmons?
Oh, I would say Allen Iverson, but I can't say that because his hold on culture,
yes,
hip-hop culture, urban culture, and how he had little kids in China with braids, you know, you never, it was, the polarization was too positive for the negative to override it.
And even guess, here with that, like he always says, have people love me, have people hate me, but that's exactly what it was for him. There's a
Ben is nowhere near
exactly
half. Ben
right.
Doesn't even have 10%. Number one, and it's funny you say that because one of my main comparisons with my call was going to be to compare Ben to Carson Wentz, and the reason both of them aren't well liked and loved in Philly is because number one, they're both definitely not Philly guys, and what people in Philadelphia seem to have a problem with, we know Ben is a defensive wizard. We know Ben has impacted the game severely defensively. The first game against Boston, they won because of the steal that Ben initiated. He totally shuts down some of the star players that he plays against. But our problem is, to quote Doris Burke, she said something about his great athleticism and length and talent on the defensive end. Why wouldn't that translate into the offensive end? Same advantages that you have over people on defense, you have worse or better on offense, which is shown by every time you show some gonads and heart and make your mind up to go strong to the basket, you either get a layup or get fouled. And our problem is we know you can do that anytime you
exactly.
want to, but smart fans in Philadelphia, especially fans such as myself, who get paid to be behavior analysts and deal with juveniles with emotional and mental disturbances and ego problems like Ben Simmons. Ben Simmons has oppositional defiant disorder. I'm sick and tired of watching the Ben Simmons Instagram show of perfectly formed three-point jump shots. I'm sick and tired of the highlight videos when you dunking on LeBron in the summer league. That clearly shows that when you're highly motivated and you want to do something, you can do it just as well as anybody else. So at this point in time, me, OGE, Visit West Philly Old Head, will no longer defend you from the slings and arrows of the hardcore Philadelphia fans who see through your pump fake and BS. You a Kardashian lover, and you love the trinkets of basketball more than you love the actual hard work of the game.
EJ, great way to end the phone call, man. Thanks. We'll talk to you. We'll talk to you soon, man. Really appreciate it. It's all good. It's all good. You know how it goes. 610-632-0975. So hang on, Brian. We'll get to you shortly as well, man. 610-632-0975. See, when you get losses, man, it's almost impossible to run away from it. As he said, he's a defensive wizard. We know that. But the one thing that I highlight that EJ pointed out is when, let's say, the 10 for 12 the other night, I don't expect him to make 10 of 12 from the free throw line. But I do expect him to get there between 7 to 9 times a night because he's 6'10". His game is downhill. So inevitably, you're going to take on some contact. You're going to absorb that contact, which should result, unless they get you on the floor, should result in some free throws. It's not going to knock them down. 10 of 12. He's not going to shoot 90% from the free throw line. I know that. I've always said, give me the 70 and I'm good. Get to the rim and finish. I'm good. And the thing that EJ pointed out is when you look at his stat line from Saturday night, and B, sorry about that, man. Just give us a minute. When you look at his stat line from the other night and he gave you 29 and 8 or 29 and 7, whatever the number was against Detroit, and the 10 of 12 from the free throw line. The thing is, like we always say, and EJ just pointed out, we've seen you do it. So look, when he goes out there and he defends, forget about Jeremy Grant. Jeremy Grant is not even on the level of a scorer where you need to get excited about him shutting down. That's what Ben Simmons is going to do to someone like Jeremy Grant, even though he's turned himself into a very nice offensive player. He was rolling, averaging 24 points a game. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, it's it's when he does that against those other good players, to EJ's point, and I know Brian will agree on this, We expect that. Brian's the season ticket holder. Every night when you go down and you see a certain player that's a top-level scorer or someone who's pegged as a top-level scorer, and, oh, just put Ben on him. Even though he may not shut him down, Ben is going to work his tail off. He's going to make that guy work. So when I use that as an example, that's what you expect from Ben. Why? Because we've seen it. Now, you don't ask Ben Simmons to go out there and knock down 5 of 8 from the three-point line. Heck, I don't even need him to knock down 1 from the three-point line. I just need him to do the other things that we talked about, that we've seen him get his points without the shooting, downhill, get to the basket, absorb the contact, finish at the rim strong. And sometimes you're not going to make your free throws, but if you're ambidextrous, you're able to finish with both hands. That's a plus for you. And so when we talk about, all right, we know he can do this against this player, he's gonna shut him down. He's gonna make him earn that. It's because we've seen it. And when we go to the other side and we say, okay, 29-7, he gives you 9-7 anyway. He gives you, on average, 17-9-7 at season's end, or 17-8-7 at season's end. And it's not because we're asking something from him that's not attainable. It's something that we've seen him do many a time. His average is 17-8-7. So inevitably, there are going to be those nights where you are in the low 20s, mid-20s, high-20s, creeping to the low 30s, which he has done. We're going to see those things. I don't think that's asking too much, even when you are playing with a big fella like Joel Embiid. You add the shooters that they now have, which completes what they want as a team template of what is best around those two players specifically, with Green and Curry. And now you're seeing the shooting from others around the perimeter overall, where everyone's knocking down shots. It makes it easier. What we get on them about, and this is a broken record at this point, what we get on them about are those fundamental things that I pointed out. Picking up the ball without having an idea where the ball is going, leaving your feet in the air, throwing the ball cross court, stuff like that, being out of control, picking up a charge tonight that was unnecessary against this team. Those are the things that drive people crazy, which again, and I'll ask Brian and Philly J and everybody else that's there, 610-632-0975, why is he so polarizing as an athlete? Is it as simple as, we've seen you do it, we know you do it, just do it? It reminds me of the Seinfeld episode, before we go to break, where Jerry took his shirt to the cleaners. They shrunk his shirt. It looks like your one-year-old's Oxford shirt. He says, you shrunk it. Just say you shrunk it. The guy looks around him because other customers are behind, and he looks Jerry in the eye, leans in, and says, I shrunk it. Right? I shrunk the shirt. Okay. All right. Ben, I try to defend him, but then it gets me in trouble, and then it gets me going crazy. And look, we got to take this break. B, Philly, everybody else, we'll get to you guys when we get back. 610-632-0975, final segment, 11:45, The Leftovers. We're in the post. Tyler Zulli is with us right here on The Fanatic.
Give me that phone. Javon Givens on 97.5, The Fanatic.
All right, 11:31, 97.5, The Fanatic. In the post, we are. Sixers fall to the Pistons tonight, 119-104. In the second game of the back-to-back in Detroit, they return home Wednesday, hosting the Los Angeles Lakers, who knocked off the Cleveland Cavaliers tonight behind LeBron James. What'd I say, Tyler? 46 he had? LeBron James, 46 tonight in the win in Cleveland. And the Sixers get to host LeBron James on Wednesday, right here on 97.5 The Fanatic. I believe that's a 7:30 tip. So let's get ready. Let's get ready. And B should be back for that game as well. 610-632-0975. Celtics did win. So while the Sixers remain at the top of the Eastern Conference, the Celtics are right now 9-6, a game and a half behind the Sixers and the Milwaukee Bucks, who were idle tonight, are one game back of the Philadelphia 76ers. The Pacers and Nets are also a game and a half behind Philadelphia for first place in the Eastern Conference. So it's going to be some competition in the East, as we know. 6, 7, and 8 holding down right now. That would be Atlanta, Cleveland, and New York. Atlanta at 8-8, Cleveland 8-9, New York 8-10, and then everybody else. Those teams, to me, don't even matter, really. The only one I would pay attention to, only two I would pay attention to, are the Toronto Raptors and the Miami Heat getting it together and creeping back up there at some point. Maybe Atlanta, but I still believe that Miami and Toronto have enough for them to creep back up into the postseason in the Eastern Conference. 610-632-0975. Your thoughts on the game tonight, and how does it always get back to Ben Simmons? We didn't start it. The caller started it. Tyler Zuli with the leftovers at 11:45. Brian in Plymouth meeting in the post. What's up, Brian?
Yeah, D.
What's up,
B? How could you not? I mean, I feel like I'm one of his biggest defenders on the of people that call in to the show.
Yeah.
And he took himself out of the game, the game where they absolutely needed him. Talking about what he did while he was playing, to me, is just kind of besides the point, because he took himself out of the game with foul trouble. The second, you know, the charge, whatever, he's going to get those charges. But then he's playing out of control. He pokes a loose ball. He gets a second foul, and he's got to come off the court. And now Doc's scrambling because he doesn't. Like that was it right there. And then what was he doing when he came back in, when he's guarding Blake Griffin, like pelvis first? Like, what was that move?
When he picked up that, they should have called him for that stupid foul, but they called Tyrese Maxey. I don't even know how. But that was ridiculous. You're absolutely right. It was like, what are you doing?
Ben's third foul. I mean, he came back into the game within 30 seconds. He's guarding Blake Griffin. Like, I don't even know what he was trying to do. It was almost like he was trying to foul out on purpose. Like, well, if you're going to let Embiid rest, then I might as well foul out too. It was bizarre, and I was furious from that point on.
When you say it like that, you know, the first thing is like, oh, I'm too good to be in this game. I'll play when Embiid's ready to play. When you said it just like that, I'm like,
I don't seriously think that.
No. I was saying me off of what you just said. I'm like, oh, well, maybe he's thinking like he's too good to be playing against the Pistons.
Well, I mean, you know, I'm just going through reasons in my mind. Like, this guy has been, you say what you want about him, he's a smart basketball player, and
I agree.
He just looks like his head is somewhere else this year. You know, that was just crazy. And, you know, and also that kind of came from, you know, the other team starts off hot shooting, and you're missing your assignments defensively or whatever. This is the worst team in the league. And they were, like, panicking like it was – they were panicking like it was the fourth quarter versus a superior team. And that's why he's out of control poking at the ball. But they were all out of control because they're taking their lead from him. But what – like just chill out. Like, this team's not going to shoot 75% the whole game. Let's just play our game, and by the end of the game, we'll beat them.
Yep.
But that was just incredibly frustrating.
It is. You know? And like I said, man, you look at a game like he had on Saturday, and the bright spot, of course, is the 10 of 12 from the free throw line. It was tremendous to see that, the 5 of 7 from the floor. We've seen that before. But for him to knock down the free throws at that clip, and not that is going to carry over into this game, but with Embiid knowing that he's out, you want him to have that mentality of, hey, guys, no worries, we got this. And unfortunately, it's the, hey, guys, we got this, don't worry, because we're too good. And they always get smacked in the face when they think that they're too good for the opponent.
Well, that's true. But, I mean, and also, I mean, over the years, I mean, there have been some times, especially before the Butler year, before we got Butler, the rest of the team around him was not good enough. But when Embiid was out, win or lose, he would come and he would play his butt off and kind of take that as a, all right, here's my chance to do my thing. I mean, he always showed in those games, win or lose.
Mm-hmm.
And this year, we weren't even going there tonight. How bad a spot would we have been in if Tony Bradley didn't play the first half of his life?
Oh, come on. Yeah, exactly.
I liked what Dwight was doing when Doc was running him with the bench unit, but him and Simmons can't play together.
That's why he has to stick with Shake. That's why he has to stick with Sheik. I hear you, man. Listen, B, thanks for the call, man. We'll talk to you later. Appreciate it. 610-632-0975. It's just a frustrating thing. Oh, man, we lost. Who was that we were about to go to next? Or maybe they fell off. But yeah, Philly J. We were going to get Philly J up here. And maybe Philly J is back with us. He had the phone call issue that dropped. So we're going to give Philly J his opportunity. We're going to go to Dom and everybody else. 610-632-0975-1145. The Leftovers with Tyler Zuli. Let's go back to Philly J from D.C. in the Post. What's up, Philly J?
Hey, how you doing, Devon?
I'm doing all right, man, except for I thought I would get a better performance from this team tonight.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not surprised. I mean, I'm gonna start this off saying I'm not a real big Ben Simmons fan, and you know, my thing is the clock is ticking on Joel Embiid. You know, the longer we gotta wait for Ben Simmons to fully develop according to Doris Burke, the less time, you know, he's 7'2". You really don't know how much, you know, I don't think he's going to be a guy that's going to play into his maybe mid or late 30s. You know what I'm saying? So The clock is ticking. That's why a lot of fans, you know, wanted LeBron here two, three years ago. That's why they wanted to make the Kawhi trade. That's why they wanted, James Harden. Even though I'm not a big James Harden fan, but you know, they want another elite player next to Joel Embiid because it's pretty much obvious that in the playoffs, is going to be left up to Joel Embiid to outscore the Nets, the trio of superstars. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And the clock is just ticking. You know, I mean, you can get some nice little role players in there, but you know, you need like, I mean, that's why LeBron James always tries to get like stars, other stars to play with him. He knows, you know, Kevin Durant, you know what I'm saying? Stuff like that. You know, I know somebody's going to bring up Toronto, but Kyle Lowry is a hell of a basketball player in the clutch, knocking down threes and stuff like that. And Pascal Siakam played well. I mean, Toronto did go 53-19 without Kawhi last year. So they showed you that they were just more than just Kawhi. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I mean, and this city we haven't won an NBA championship since 1983. You know, and people are just, I look at it, I just think Joel Embiid is just wasting here. You know what I'm saying? To be honest with you.
A lot of people feel like that. You don't want to waste so much of his prime.
You've seen tons of great players and you'd be like, man, that dude, I like him so much. You know, he's never going to win. You know, I think of a guy back in the 90s, a Mitch Richmond. I like Mitch Richmond, but unfortunately he's stuck out in Sacramento. Then he goes to the Washington Bucks. You know what I'm saying? Bradley Beal. You know what I'm saying? Stuck in Washington. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And even though the Sixers are not a bad team like those teams, his talent is being wasted here because we had to wait for a guy, according to Doris Burke, to fully develop. Now, you always say aggressive Ben Simmons is the best Ben Simmons. Now, let me ask you a question. Why can't this guy, if he's not going to shoot, why can't he just be aggressive every night?
It's a knock on him, right? When I say it's aggressive Ben Simmons is the best Ben Simmons, because at this point, Philly J, we shouldn't even be saying this 5 years in now.
Exactly. I mean,
we should be talking about the next step of who he is, the next evolution of his game. We're still talking about the same things that were, evident from year one.
Yeah. I mean, why can't this guy develop a Euro step and get to the basket? I never see him Euro step around somebody and get to the basket. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? I mean, he may do it sometimes, but I mean, Ginobili used to use that move like 10 times a game.
Because it was efficient. That thing was on point.
You know what I'm saying? Like he's 6'10". You know what I'm saying? Drive to the basket. Get fouled. Get to the line. You know, because me, honestly, I don't have a lot of confidence in Tobias Harris in the playoffs either. I'm gonna tell you the only person on that team other than Joel Embiid that I got confidence in the playoffs. Seth Curry. That's it.
Wow.
He's the only one that I, as a starter, that I have confidence that I think that he's going to show up in the playoffs. Tobias Harris and I get it. From what I've seen from Ben Simmons in two playoff series, you know what I'm saying? I mean, yeah, he played good in the first round, I guess, against the weaker team, but Boston 3 years ago, Toronto, that seven-game series. He only had one good game that whole seven-game series against Toronto. And you know what I find funny? I find funny how last year after the season, there were a lot of people on this station and callers, and they know who they are if they're listening, said that they would rather trade Joel Embiid and build around Ben Simmons. Which I just found totally hilarious.
Yeah, plenty of people. Okay. And Jay, thanks for the call, man. Good to catch up with you. Plenty of people have said that for sure when it comes to Simmons and Embiid. Who would you prefer to build around? So that's something that we've talked about a lot, and a lot of people felt that way. Let's go to Dom in North Philly next in the post. What's up, Dom? How you doing?
What's good, Devine? I'm a little frustrated. I mean, Philly J just got me a little depressed after hearing him talk. But I like to start off with saying that, I mean, Ben Simmons is at that point where it's damned if you do, damned if you don't. It's like, I want him to be aggressive, but he got a personal foul and an offensive foul within the first 3 minutes of the game, you know?
You know, if it was more consistent, Dom, clearly the reaction would be totally different when he has an off night.
Oh, that's the truth. That's the truth of it. But I'm not even mad at him. My unpopular opinion for tonight's game, my take is that Shake Milton was just jacking up shots. He didn't have a rhythm. He was missing open men, you know, and like when he's just going out to get his number, it seems like he throws off the whole flow of the team. It's an energy with him, and he has that six-man tunnel vision going on right now.
Mm.
You feel me? Like, when I watch him, it's like, man, look, he's right there. You can pass it back. And Tyrese, it was a lackluster toward the end of the game, and trash, garbage time, or whatever you want to call it. He started to show his stuff. And then another bad look on Ben Simmons is every time he's in a game with Dwight, man, he just makes the same cuts. I see them bumping into each other too many times.
Yeah.
It's just like they both want to get the oop. Nobody throws Ben oops anymore. It's only like Joel, and that's only in a little snug pick and roll nowadays. I mean, I like it. I like the aggressiveness that he tried to show, but he only played 21 minutes, so I'm not even like mad at that. It was like 10 and a half, and both halves. So he could do better. I think he Doc really just was trying to find a little tweaks of how to get through this game. But he played like the first 3 minutes of the second half, and we got within eight. And then Shake came in with that weird three that didn't even come off the pass. He just came up and pulled up. It's like, man, I want you to be Chauncey Billups. I really do, but not yet. I don't think you're there yet.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You feel me?
Nah, I do, man. I do, Dom. It's frustrating team at times. When they're good, man, are they good. And then when they are not, especially when Embiid is out, and now they're 0-4. It's a problem, man. Listen, have a great night, man. We'll catch up later.
You too, man. Have a great one.
You too, man. Thanks, Dom. Appreciate it. All right, it's 11:46. That means it's time for the leftovers with Tyler Zuli. What's up, Ty? What do we got?
What's up, Devon?
What did we miss? So, well, obviously we missed everything.
Yeah, I mean, we had a lot to talk about tonight. But so I'm going to tell you this up front.
Mm-hmm.
We have three stories. And then you know how when you have a publication, some pieces are stories.
Sure.
And some are opinion-based.
Yes.
So our final story of the night is going to be opinion-based because I'm a little upset with something that Major League Baseball has done. But other than that, we actually have actual stories for you.
Okay.
So we will start in the NBA because the NBA and the National Basketball Players Association are discussing the possibility of holding an all-star game in early March with Atlanta looking like the likely site. So obviously the traditional all-star game, which was scheduled for February in Indianapolis, was canceled because of coronavirus pandemic. And there was going to not be a game, but the league is starting to discuss the potential of having a game on March 7th in Atlanta, mm-hmm. which is going to be a really scaled down version of the, you know, the festivities, the rookies versus second year guys game won't happen, and no dunk contest, no skills competition, none of that. Just a game in Atlanta because the NBA does have their midseason break from March 5th to March 10th.
Yes.
By the way, this potential game is being held in Atlanta because not only has the Hawks State Farm Arena offered up its services, but also certain Atlanta-based HBCU campuses have also offered up their gyms to play this game because all of the money and proceeds would go to HBCUs and COVID relief funds.
Yeah, I'm going to dive into this a little bit more, get some more information on this as this came out and surfaced earlier. But I don't know how I feel about it. I thought they would just bag it, and I thought that would be all right for me. Just bag it, and we'll see them next season as long as things are as close to back to normal as possible. We can do that. Unfortunately, man, I don't really care to see it this season. I don't. How do you feel?
Does the fact that it's only going to be one game and really kind of scaled down in terms of fanfare and the exciting, you know, events, the skills competition and all that stuff, does that make it better for you, the fact that it's kind of just going to be a game, get in, get out?
No, just don't do it. Just name the All-Stars, give them that recognition, and just move on. There's no point of another travel point for these players where they're going to be separated from their teams, all going to Atlanta, and then have to go back to these different spots. I just don't find it to be the right thing for them to do right now.
Okay, so yeah. We'll go to
name the guys.
We'll go to college football next. Last week we told you that former Texans head coach Bill O'Brien would be joining Nick Saban's staff. Well, Nick Saban is picking up where he left off this week and adding another former NFL head coach to his coaching staff. This week, the Crimson Tide announced that they will be adding Doug Marrone to Nick Saban's coaching staff. He'll coach the offensive line for the Crimson Tide. So Bill O'Brien will be the offensive coordinator and quarterback's coach. Doug Marrone will be the offensive line coach. So here's Marrone's numbers as the Jags head coach in four seasons. He was 22-42, but he went 10-6 in 2017. So you take out that 1 year, he was 12-36 as the Jaguars head coach. The last time that Doug Marrone and Bill O'Brien teamed up, they were both assistants in the 1990s at Georgia Tech.
Interesting. They just load up in Alabama, so you know what I'm saying? It's like, whatever at this point. All right, go ahead and do your thing. You're going to build a great team. You're going to build a great coaching staff when people become available. We've heard about Stoutland maybe even going back. He's coming back. I don't know. I'm sorry. I don't mean to jump on anything if that was in your leftovers, but this was, I mean, look, man. The rich get richer. Can I say?
Well, and you would think, you know, obviously Doug Marrone has had, you know, very little success as a head coach, but he brings NFL experience.
He does.
He knows what he's looking for at the next level for an offensive lineman. You would hope that, well, and one thing
you
too.
You know going to happen. He's going to end up with another gig in the league.
Oh, without a doubt. What Alabama has become for assistant coaches is like the reclamation project school to go to. You know, you have some struggles somewhere else. You go back, you become the OC or the offensive line coach. And, I mean, you've seen it happen time and time again. Lane Kiffin is, you know, was successful at FAU, played that into a job at Ole Miss. He's now an SEC head coach again. You've seen it happen many times at that school.
Mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely.
So Major League Baseball and the Players Association have turned down the latest MLB proposal. You talk about the rich get richer. This is just the stupid getting stupider because Major League Baseball can't get out of its own way. Okay. They turned down a proposal for the universal designated hitter and an expanded playoff format. So here's the problem. The union, the Players Association, was seemingly in favor of the DH being universal. The problem was Major League Baseball was only going to concede a universal DH if the union would agree to having an expanded playoff. The union didn't like that idea of having an expanded playoff. So when it came down to put the proposal together, the MLB, which is the worst of the four major sports leagues at this point, clearly, because again, it can't get out of its own way, said, we're going to put them both in the proposal. And Major League Baseball Players Association went, no thank you, and they denied both of them.
Do you blame them?
I don't blame them at all.
Not at all. I don't blame them at all for that.
There has to be a little bit of give and take on both sides, but the union was very upfront about saying we are not going to trade you universal DH for expanded playoffs. And baseball went, how about expanded playoffs? Just doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't, man. Just doesn't.
One more thing, this is a growing concern of mine in Major League Baseball. There's a problem with small market teams. And now, obviously, baseball will never be equal when it comes to monetary decisions because there's no salary cap. But there is a problem among growing small market teams, and this week it specifically impacts the Pittsburgh Pirates and the Baltimore Orioles. So the Pirates recently, meaning this weekend, traded one of their starters, Jameson Taillon, to the Yankees for a bunch of, you know, prospects. And these trades happen all the time. The problem is Taillon was one of the few guys that was making any kind of money for the Pittsburgh Pirates. So here's what the Pirates' structured salary looks like at this point. Gregory Polanco is making $11.6 million. And I'm just going to give you this number. Okay. He is making 30.7% of the total team salary at $11.6 million. They have $38 million on the books for 2021, and one of them is from a suspended player.
Wow. Wow.
To add to that point, the Baltimore Orioles are at $60 million for the season, but here's the reason why the Orioles are at $60 million for a season. You remember the ridiculous contract they gave Chris Davis like 4 or 5 years ago because he was hitting like 50 home runs? Yeah, he's still on the books, as is Alex Cobb, for about $9 million a season. They make 38 of their team's $60 million a season. Small market teams, that there needs to be a salary cap for.
And they're talking about expansion and all of this stuff. And
it's going to be a team in Nashville, apparently.
Yeah.
That's just where Dave Dombrowski's going
to
go.
Exactly. That's what Dombrowski was trying to work on. So,
but I don't know how you feel, but there has to be a salary cap floor. I don't care about a cap, but you've got to meet a minimum threshold.
Yeah, it's too much money going around in baseball. You have to do it. Everyone else does it. Why not you?
Yeah, even the process Sixers had to get to their salary cap floor.
Yes, they did. And if the money wasn't met, you had to...
You're trading for Kirilenko.
All that stuff at the end of the season. And those?
Those are our leftovers.
There you go. Tyler Zuli, great work. Both double duty, doing a Sixers game and finishing things up here with us tonight. Brian Seltzer, Tom McGinnis, Marty Dickerson, and Nat Marlowe. Also doing great work on the Sixers radio broadcast. Thanks to all the callers, all the tweets, all the listeners. Thanks to Dee Lynam for her check-in, as usual, following Sixers basketball. We'll be back tomorrow, but we'll be back after Flyers hockey tomorrow as Beers with Bob kicks things off for you at 6 o'clock right here on 97.5 The Fanatic. So everybody be safe. They said we're going to have some sort of weather, so everyone be careful if you're out overnight. Please be careful, and we'll talk to you tomorrow after Flyers hockey right here at 97.5 The Fanatic. Good night.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.